Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Thank you for joining us today, as we are grateful every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to have you with us. We'll start our day with devotion, and the scripture today is coming from Matthew 14th chapter, the 28th verse. That's the scripture, and we'll be having a song from Brother Mark Bryant, and scripture will be read by Dr. James Nooks, and we'll have a prayer by Pastor Lester Carver.
Good evening, everyone. Again, we thank you for joining us at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, where God is exalted and the Word is explained. We truly appreciate you, whether you're in the city of Indianapolis, in the United States, or out of the country. We thank you for joining us again at Your Place Christian Bible Study. We'll be starting off with song, scripture, and prayer. Today's song is just welcome. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel you designed to abide in the presence of your people. So we lift our hands as we lift our voice, as we offer up praises to your name. Oh, welcome into this land. Welcome into this broken vessel you desire to abide in the presence of your people. So we lift our hands as we lift our voice, as we offer up praises to your name.
Amen. 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 Dr. Nook, would you please read Matthew 14:22-27 and reread 27? Thank you.
28 was the verse you wanted for today, wasn't it? You want me to read the 28?
Yeah, 22-28 and reread 28. Thank you.
Okay. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent his people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were frightened, fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." and repeating verse 28. Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water."
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity that we have to fellowship around your word, God. Father, show us something that we've not yet seen or understood in a way that draws us near to you. God, we lift you up, we magnify you, we praise you. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we love you because you first love us, God, and just allow us to extend that love. We receive your forgiveness and extend your forgiveness to others. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're so excited to have everybody on the line tonight, you know, those of you who are in the studio as well as those in our radio audience, because tonight and throughout the month of September, we're going to be talking about how to survive the storm. We've been dealing with a variety of storms in our lives lately, and many of those storms have impacted us in major ways. We're dealing with Hurricane Katrina. We dealt with Hurricane Katrina. We dealt with Hurricane Harvey, and we're still experiencing the effects of Hurricane Irma. We've dealt with life storms. You know, and each time we learn something from every time our country has been in a storm. Of recent, you know, the Kentucky is just now experiencing the effects of Hurricane Irma, and that we've had lots and lots of rain coming in our direction, and it's been challenging. And so we come today to try to look and examine how do you function when it's a lot of storms going on in your life, when life storms are tearing you down and they're challenging you. How do you survive the storm? And so last week we talked about the first thing we need to do when we are encountering the storm is to recognize the presence of God's presence in the midst of the storm. We examined several scriptures, and the main scripture, of course, was verse 27. But tonight we're going to look at several scriptures, and we're going to focus on trusting and having faith in the Lord. So we're going to look at, again, the text that Dr. Nooks read, and my first question to you all tonight, as we examine this, is the scripture says, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. So what does it mean to trust God and have faith? What does that mean to you? I'm going to go through, Brother Mark, when you hear that, what does it mean to trust and have faith in the Lord when you're going through life storms?
To me, it means that just what it says, with the word trust, commentates, meaning to put an assurance in, put your faith in. And if one puts their trust in God through their faith, it allows an open door for God to come in and work. Without faith, work can't be done by God. So we have to have that trust in God, recognizing that he will give the assurance, the deliverance, direction that we need.
Amen. Brother Lester, what does that mean to you when you hear that? I know you got a series of answers, so what does it mean to you? Oh, we just lost it. So, Brother Nooks, what does that mean to you when you hear that you need to trust and have faith in God? We'll come back to Brother Lester when he calls back in.
Well, it means that it's exercised faith, meaning that it's not a faith that's manifested in words. Just like the disciples were afraid, Jesus had to remind them not to be afraid because it is him. So when storms come, people get afraid and they act in a way that is not often, I'll say often, we act in ways that is not grounded in a faith that God is with us. In other words, we start trying to get everything done humanly, but then when
Amen.
We do all we can humanly, we still are in a storm internally because we really haven't exercised faith in God. We are still trying to put
Amen.
Faith in ourselves, and we find ourselves failing and not being able to release that tension and that fear. But when you exercise faith in God, that means you ought to be able to be in a storm and believe, and not only believe, but exercise that belief, act in a way that says it's going to be all right. Like Jesus
okay.
told them to go to the other side of the lake. And so they were worrying about how they were going to get there when the storm came. But if Jesus told them to go to the other side of the lake, then they're going to make it to the other side of the lake because he told them to go there. So if we have
Amen.
Faith in God and we believe that God is with us and God is going to take care of us, then why are we so worried about everything? I mean, we can't sleep. We can't eat. We get all upset about everything. We let stuff bother us all the time. We need antidepressants. We need medication to help us be able to function. And yet we say, I have faith in God. I believe in
okay.
Jesus. Where is your faith?
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So having faith in God means more to me than just exercising our lips, saying I have
okay.
faith in God. It means that we walk in faith.
Amen. So, Brother Lester, the question was, again, what does it mean to you when you just hear trust and have faith in God, in the Lord? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, to me it's pretty simple. It just means that we are to reject our own understanding of the circumstances and acknowledge that only God knows everything, acknowledge that God is present everywhere we're going to be, and acknowledge that God has the power that is necessary to reverse any situation that we're looking at.
Amen. Amen. Everybody's giving these excellent answers. And as a result of those responses, my question is, you know, and I'm going to do it, Eric. Why is it so hard to trust God? Why is it so hard to trust God? You know, we got people out in the radio audience out there, and they are struggling, you know, not to mention the fact that Hurricane Irma just passed, and we have people who chose to, you know, get in their cars and leave because they were mandatory evacuation in some places. We have people who stayed. And then they talked about how horrific it was. I mean, life experiences are varied. How and what is the question is, why is it so hard for us to trust God in the midst of the storm? And I heard Dr. Nick say that one of the issues is fear. Go ahead.
Well, a big factor is that we are constantly in battle, in a battle with our flesh. And it's hard for us to let God, I mean, Paul said this himself, you know, when I would do good, evil is always present. So we're in this constant battle with ourselves and try to do what we feel is right instead of relying on God or letting God move and have first place in our lives. It's a human thing. I mean, we grow in the spirit as we start believing more in God and leaning more on God. We can grow, but we still keep falling back. We have this battle going on. So, you know, our prayer is that as we grow in the spirit, we learn how to lean more and depend on God. God said, draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. So, but we keep drawing close to God and drawing away from God. And I mean, it's a back and forth thing, but we hope as we grow in the spirit and grow in grace that we start leaning more toward God. But it is hard for us to let go of ourselves and let God. That's the battle. I mean, it's a constant battle, and we just pray that we can grow and lean more toward God and away from ourselves. I think Brother Lester said it very well when he said, you know, it's letting go of ourselves and trusting more in God.
Amen. And I think that it has to do with our culture. You know, does not culture teach us not to, you know, that we don't have to trust anything anymore? That we can't trust anyone or anything? Isn't that what our culture teaches us? The more that we get somebody who actually shares with us what we really need to hear, then we start to go the other way, you know, going, I don't know about that, because we are taught to be so leery and skeptical of people in general. And specifically, we've got all these, yes, sir, we've got all these new generational people who few of them even believe in the Word of God. And so as a result, they are responding in ways that's like, why would I, they're skeptical about it. Go ahead, Brother Lester.
Yeah. You know, the Bible tells us to trust no man, including ourselves. And I believe that it's so hard for us to trust God because from the day that we're born, we're taught to trust and rely on our parents and those who care for us. And this is normal for our flesh, natural experience. But when we come into the body of Christ, into relationship with God, and we understand that we're interfacing with an all-powerful, all-knowing, present, everywhere spirit, then we have to operate differently. And that change in operating from trusting ourselves and trusting others to trusting God is a big leap, because that requires us to not trust ourselves and not trust our friends and our family. I mean, there are verses in the Bible that tell you not to trust the person you sleep next to every night, you know?
Amen. Amen. There's a lot of different things out there for sure, and it makes it very challenging for us, I perceive, to specifically, if you don't have a relationship with God, it makes it even that much harder. So, Brother Mark, how would you answer that? Why is it so hard to trust God?
You know, I don't know. I really don't. Beyond the fear of the unknown, for those who may not even believe in a Christ or higher being, that's the only thing that I could think of. Because other than that, there's a comfort in trusting in God. As we understand gravity, you know, as what goes up must come down. That we have an assurance in Jesus Christ that his word is true, and that which he says is true, and that which he has for us in regard to our future is true also.
Amen. Amen.
You know, Dr. Smith, I just thought about Peter and walking on this water, and how many of us, if we were, Jesus told us to come and walk in the water, we would be thinking to ourselves, I can't walk on water. You know, we would be saying, I'm going to sink. You know, even though Peter was a fisherman, he could swim well. I mean, he was a great swimmer. But yet, you know, he began to sink. And I found that very interesting, because, you know, they talk about him jumping in and swimming in other parts of the Bible. But yet in this case, he was sinking, and he calls out to Jesus. I don't know if it was because of the storm, but most of us, our minds would take over and we'd have a hard time believing God, because our minds are telling us, I can't walk on water. I'm going to sink. You know, instead of believing that, I mean, God goes against all laws of physics. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense in our minds that we can walk on water. You know, we don't have the buoyancy. It defies everything. It defies everything that we know. So, and that's what God is telling us. And, you know, what you know, that's just the beginning. What I know is a lot more. And it's hard for us to get over that, to be able to accept and trust in God, because God's logic is not our logic. And we try to put God in the same frame as us. And God doesn't think like us. God, you know, and God, his thoughts are much greater than our thoughts. But yet we keep wanting to bring God down to us and put God in some box, and God is bigger than anything that we can think about. But I was just thinking about how difficult that would be for somebody applying logic. And we want to apply logic. We want to think. We want to think we know how to do stuff. And God is saying, you know, come on, it's me. You can walk on the water because I control the water. But
amen.
We have a hard time with that.
And I also think that, some people kind of dog out Peter saying that, that he really didn't have faith. But actually, I see him as having more faith than anybody else in the boat because he was the only one that asked to come out to him. I mean, so it's different ways you can see that, and I see that as he did have faith. But I think what happens to us, which is a real deal, specifically those of us who are growing in our faith, is that when the waves start getting hot around you, when life starts kicking you in the butt in a way that it's never done before, and you're in an experience that you've never had to encounter before, if you're not strong in your relationship with God, which is what we always talk about so much, why it's so important to have that relationship with God, those tough times make it very difficult for us to trust God. And here you are, you know, what's real is that you start to sink. That's real. That's not an artificial thing. It's not like, oh, maybe I might sink. Peter started to sink. But to me, that's the nature of the storm. The nature of the storm is that we are going to sink. You know, we walk on water, but the issue becomes, can we trust and have faith in God? And I think that's the issue here, is God wants us to believe his promises. He said, Peter, come on. So he promised that he would be there. He promised that he would, and that's what Peter needed to have relied on to me, is that God's word was his promise. And if he told him to come and do something, just like you said, Dr. Nooks, he told the disciples to get in the boat and that they were supposed to go across, they needed to believe that they were going to make it all the way across, not get stuck in the middle and die, but they were going to make it all the way through. He said, I'll meet you on the other side. So in this context, I feel that they should, you know, Peter should have had, knowing that Christ was there, wasn't going to let him sink. I mean, they had that kind of relationship, I would think. What are you thinking, Brother Lester?
That,
you have to get off mute.
Yeah, I'm off mute now. I think that we have to really practice not to lean to our own understanding because it
Amen.
Is natural. When you see waves and fire and earthquakes and people going bankrupt and companies going out of business and illness and disease and sickness and all that other stuff, it's easy to respond according to the flesh, according to the ways that the world tells you to respond, thinking this is responsible. But what is responsible in the world, might be rejecting what God is requiring you to do. And when we lean to our own understanding, we always have a decision to make. Are we going to believe God's word, or are we going to believe what
ourself,
the circumstances say? And do we have the strength to reject what we see and walk into the freedom and liberty and power of God and be blessed?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that's why I asked the question about why is this so hard, because I think we need to understand, according to what everybody said tonight, is that everything around us, including our culture, teaches us to do just the opposite of what God is calling us to do. Isn't that typical of the Word of God? God said go left, and the world said go right. But what we're trying to understand here is when you have that relationship with God, you can believe that whatever he asks you to do, he will empower you to actually accomplish that task. So has anybody had a situation or circumstances in their life where it seemed as though it was un, an unimaginable, accomplishable feat that God asks you to do something and then it comes through? I mean, Brother Lester, you do it all the time in your business.
Well, yeah. I mean, main thing for me is with my kids, you know, because you see situations where, you know, you don't know how they're going to make it past the challenges they have now. And God always comes through.
Amen. 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 And what we have to be careful of is operating in disbelief, which is what everybody has said tonight. We want to not do that, but we want to surrender to God. Can we turn to one of the texts? Can we go to, can I get somebody to read Genesis 15:6 as we talk about how we can trust the God, trust God. Genesis 15:6. Dr. Nooks, do you have that?
Yes,
or the left of somebody? Can you read that?
I have it.
And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith.
So often, well, I'm going to want us to read a couple of these. So can somebody get Galatians 3:6-9? Whoever gets it first is fine. Galatians 3:6-9.
In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." And
Amen.
9, so all
Amen.
Who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith.
Amen. So let's read one more. Romans, 2 Kings 5:13-15. 2 Kings 5:13-15. Anybody get that one? 2 Kings 5:13-15. I have it. I'll read it from the NIV. It says, Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophets had told you to do such great things, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you to wash and be clean?" So he went and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, and the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept the thing." And even though Naaman urged him, "If you will not," says Naaman, I'm reading the right one. "If you will," did I go to 15? No. "If you will not," okay, I wanted to read through 13 and 15. And I wanted to look at 15 because then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." So we have to begin to trust that when God either tells us something, and in this case he shared through the prophet what he wanted to have done. And it's about trusting and having faith. And when Naaman actually began to have trust, when he actually did what God told him to do, what was the result? Let's look at the final chapter. It says,
he was healed.
So, yes, he was healed. And so the point is that we have to trust God. We have to believe in God. We have to have that faith that when God is telling us to do something, that God's promises are real. Let's look at John 12:37-43 as well. John 12:37-43. Whenever you get to it, just go ahead and read it if you have it. John 12, 37:43. Anybody got it?
I have it.
Sure, I have it.
Somebody else might.
Okay, go ahead.
Somebody else may want to be. Okay, but despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people still did not believe in him. This is exactly what Isaiah the prophet had predicted. Lord, who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? But the people couldn't believe, for as Isaiah also said, the Lord has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that their eyes cannot see and their hearts cannot understand. They cannot turn to me and have me heal them. Isaiah was referring to Jesus when he said this because he saw the future and spoke of the Messiah's glory. Many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders. But they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise of God, my Lord.
So sometimes what we discover, again, this is a repetitious thing, is when God says something, it comes to fruition. But you have to trust and have faith. We're looking at all these illustrations of God showing us that God's word is true, it's valuable, it's dependable. Let's go to Psalm 33, 4 through 6. I want to hear and read this scripture as well. Psalms 33, 4 through 6. Psalms 33, 4 through 6. Okay, I have it. And if you have the message, somebody, it says, this is NIV, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. So Psalms 33, 4 through 6. Dr. Nooks, do you have that in the message?
Yes, I do.
Could you read that?
For God's word is solid to the core. Everything he makes is sound inside and out. He loves it when everything fits. When his word is in plumb line true, earth is drenched in God's affectionate satisfaction. The skies were made by God's command. He breathed the word and the stars popped out.
What is it telling us about what we have to do about what God says to us?
Believe it, accept it, know that it's true.
So we don't have to be concerned about when God gives us a directive. We don't have to be caught up in worrying about what the world has told us. We need to, one, surrender ourselves to God. And even according to this word that we read today in the text, it shows us that as we surrender to God, we need to stop worrying and then begin to worship God. So let's look at this last text that I want us to read. I want to look at Jeremiah 11, 1 through 5. Dr. Nooks, would you get 1 Chronicles 16, 11? I'm sorry. I think it's Exodus. Exodus 15, 2. Do you have a script, a Bible, Lester? Okay, go ahead, Dr. Nick. I'm going to read Jeremiah 1 through 5, Exodus 15, 2. So I'm going to read Jeremiah 11, 1 through 5. We have a little time here before I ask more questions. And it says, the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, remind the people of Judah and Jerusalem about the terms of my covenant with them. Say to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. Cursed is anyone who does not obey the terms of my covenant. For I said to your ancestors when I brought them out of the iron smelting furnace of Egypt, if you obey me and do whatever I command you, then you will be my people and I will be your God. It sounds like to me God is trying to build and establish a relationship of trust and covenant. So if we trust God, if we believe God, then God is willing and faithful to do what God has said. You know, we've been saying this in so many different words tonight through the scripture, reading it, trust and believe in God. And that's exactly what I found in the scripture. Brother Nix, do you have the other Exodus passage?
I have Exodus 15:2.
Okay.
The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him.
Amen. So what is this saying about the relationship that's necessary as we talk about trusting and believing in God? What are we hearing?
We're hearing that we're in a relationship, and that God has given the victory, and God is to be praised.
Amen. Amen. I wanted to throw out Isaiah 41:10 as well. It says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." And so when we go back to the text, when we see what was actually going on with Peter as he was walking on the water, as he was learning that Christ was saying to him to come, as he was saying, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid," all these scriptures reinforce what's supposed to happen when we have a relationship with God. These scriptures are enforcing that when we hear God say, "Come, I am he," that God is there, that God is serving as the almighty Jehovah Jireh. He's reminding us that he is not just Jesus, our friend, but he is the eternal one, the self-existent God. He's the first and the last. He's the living one. You know, he's the one that was the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the door. He's not just somebody who's saying to you, "Come on over," you can come and don't worry about it, Peter. I don't know if I got you. This is the creator of the world that says, "Come, you know, walk on water. I'm the Lord and the Master. I'm the truth and the life. I'm here to help you, to save you, to cast you away any fear that you have." So when you're going through whatever you're experiencing in your life on your journey, and God has told you he's going to be with you, that he's going to walk with you, that he's going to be beside you, that you're going to make it through to the other side, when he tells you to come on because he's got you, then do you have to worry? Can you not trust? Can we surrender ourselves to God? That's the question that's before us tonight.
Amen.
When the evidence of the word is there to show the relationship, to show that everything, every time God has said that I can do something for you, that you can trust him, every time we see in the text that God promises something, he fulfills it. We have to understand we will have negative thoughts. Brother Lester said it. Our humanity is a part, but we have to replace those negative thoughts with positive ones through the scripture of God. Can somebody read Proverbs 3:5-6? Proverbs 3:5-6. Brother Mark, do you have a Bible? Brother Lester, any of you guys, Proverbs 3:5-6. Dr. Nix, if you have it, go ahead and read it.
"Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take."
Amen. 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 So what does that mean to you all when we're in dire situations and circumstances? What does it mean when we've explained that this is the Almighty omnipotent God who's saying for us to trust and to depend on him. When we are in relationship with God, is that we have to surrender ourselves. We got to replace our negative thoughts with the word of God to incorporate that in our lives. And we hear Psalms 3, 5 through 6. What jumps out at you? Anybody?
Psalms, or are you talking about Proverbs?
No, I'm sorry, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I mean, in general,
okay.
What's jumping out when you hear that?
That we need to trust in God. I mean, that and not to have our own understanding. This is Lester had said earlier. We need to seek to do God's will. And it's so hard for us to do that because we continue to want to lean on our own understanding.
So we've looked at the example, Dr. Nooks, that oftentimes we get caught up in our humanity. We've looked at the fact that the world will tell us that we're not supposed to trust, that we're supposed to doubt, we're supposed to question, we're supposed to understand that people aren't real and we can't trust anything and that we have to have disbelief. But God teaches us something different. Through God's word, we read tonight how over and over again, those people who followed the Lord had to have trust and faith in him. How God's word is encouraging us to teach us that God is with us and walking beside us, and all we have to do is have faith and believe. So when we have this, when we're challenged by this, when we can learn to, number one, surrender to God, and in the midst of, instead of worrying, worship, when we learn that we can replace our thoughts with positive thoughts through the word of God, you know, that he will keep us in perfect peace, those whose minds stay on thee. When we can remember that, you know, what we need to do is when we get frightened, we need to then ask God for some patience. What does that look like, Brother Lester, Brother Mark, Dr. Nooks? What does that look like that in the midst of the storms, being patient?
Well, it looks like peace. If there is a description of peace, that's what it looks like. Because fear and doubt cannot live in the same room as faith. And so, as we have said, that we have to look beyond and over our circumstances and recognize that, you know, where there is God and where there is word, there is truth. And we must have faith in the truth of Christ. And if we do, then the results will come out the way God has.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Nook, do you have anything to add to that?
Exercising our faith beyond our fears. I mean, it's seeing the storm all around and saying, I'm going to trust in God, even though I'm afraid, even though it seems like the world's going to end. I'm still going to trust in God. It's a decision, a conscious decision to have faith in spite of the situation. And that's what we need when we are in a storm, is that kind of faith. It's not saying that you're not going to be afraid and that you're not going to be concerned, but it's saying I'm going to trust in God even though it appears like I'm going to die. Even though it appears like I'm going to be ruined, I still have faith in God.
Mm. So isn't it typical, Dr. Nooks, that in the midst of the storm, won't you or wouldn't you expect by nature of the storm itself to be tested?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Satan is going to do everything he can to break us. He does it all day long, every day, uses every means possible, messes with our minds, messes with our physical bodies, messes with our loved ones to break us, to make us not have faith in God, to make us try to lean on to our own understanding, to make us turn from God or not lean on the very power that we need. That's how Satan does us, and we need God, but yet Satan tells us we don't need God. It's just like in the garden, you know. They wanted to be gods, Adam and Eve. And that's what we do. We think we don't need God. We can make it all by ourselves. We got machoism. I don't know, but Satan, that's what Satan does to us. And we just follow right along behind. Except if we stand up and say, I have faith in God. I'm not going to do it. I mean, we have to, and this is a daily thing for us. And not only daily, but several times a day. Because we're in this constant battle. We have to constantly say, I trust in God. I trust in God.
Amen. Amen. On a regular basis. So, Brother Lester, I have a question. So, here we are. How do we know when we've matured in the midst of being exposed to the storm? What does our behavior look like when we hit the storm, when we've grown up, when we're starting to mature? Because it's a journey. You don't automatically get there and have arrived. This is a process that I don't think is a linear one. So what does it start to look like when you've matured and began to learn how to manage to survive in the storm? When you trust in God, trusting and having faith, what does that begin to look like? What do we do?
Is he there?
You're on mute, brother.
Primitive. Can you hear me?
We hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, when we're in a test, what we have to learn how to do is test the word. God wants us to prove his word. He challenges us in Romans 12, 1 and 2 to prove his word so that we can be transformed as we renew our mind to the word. And when you renew your mind to the word, basically what you're doing is throwing out everything you think and replacing what you think with what the word says. And if it sounds like brainwashing, it is, because when you reject your own understanding, what your eyes see and your ears hear, and you throw all that away and say, I'm going to stand on the promise of God, that's what that looks like. And the faith, confidence, and trust that you have in God is demonstrated in your peace. So when you get spiritually mature is when you know you've arrived at this, is when you get that test. And you learn how to stand still and remember the promises of God, which say that God is not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you could endure. And with the temptation, he's going to make a way of escape. So you're going to be looking for the way of escape. You're going to stand on a promise that says that God causes all bad and ugly to work together for your good because you're called of him and you love him, right? And so you are going to expect, your expectation is going to be for God to work it out. And you're going to be asking yourself, even in the worst situation, how are you using it for my good, right? And those things over and over and over, the promises of God where it says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, right? So if we stand on those promises and the other promises, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, right? But if we're going around behaving the opposite of that, we know that we've not yet matured according to the word of God.
Amen. Amen. And that's absolutely honest. Does anybody else have something they want to add to that, what it looks like? I think prayer, you know, I was thinking about when you said that, Brother Lester, the story about Daniel and how he prayed consistently when he was in the midst of the storm. And sometimes storms are varied. Sometimes storms are sickness. Sometimes storms are illnesses. Sometimes storms are the loss of a loved one. Sometimes storms are when we lose sobriety. Sometimes storms are when you can't pay your bills. Sometimes storms are when, you know, you lose your family and you have cut off. Sometimes storms are a variety of things that happen to you. But when we're in the midst of it, when we have a prayer life, come on, somebody, a line directly to God that we use and understand that connectedness is essential. Dr. Nooks, go ahead. You had something that you wanted to add to that as well.
No, I didn't. I think, you know, Brother Lester did a good job on that. It's
Absolutely. Brother Mark, did you have go ahead.
I was going to say demonstrated maturity is when you can rest, I think, when you start to get to the point that you don't have get all upset every time a storm comes because you've been through some storms and you know where your strength comes from, then you start to, I think, be more relaxed and you start to not get so upset when something comes. And you say, yeah, it's there. That's the storm. Irma's there, but we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Because I know who's got the control of Irma. You know, it changes your attitude and your worldview and your perspective on life.
Amen. And so my question to those of you in the studio is, you know, I've heard what Brother Lester said. He kind of just laid it out for us. But the other issue becomes is, as we grow, we need to understand that we do have hope, a heritage of previous experience with God that we can call on to help us to respond differently than we did when we didn't have that experience with God. Absolutely. But my question, and maybe it's not a question, I just want us to understand that what may be your Achilles heel is not going to be my Achilles heel. What may be my Achilles heel is not Dr. Nook's Achilles heel. So if in the case that I had, I lost a child, that may not impact Brother Lester the same way it did me. And so my response to it may be different. So we have to be careful not to judge how we see other
Amen.
People responding, because what is our issue and the way we handle it may not be how we handle it with something else that's our Achilles heel. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
We have to be very careful about judging how somebody else is responding, because it may not be the very thing that they're dealing with that's a problem for us, because we all have different things, and the enemy knows quite clearly what storm to send to who and what's going to take somebody down and what's not. And so we have to be diligent regardless and be consistent as we trust and have our heritage of previous experience with the Lord so that we can mature and understand how to deal with the storm. Psalms 34:19 says, disciples so often get in trouble. Still, God is there every time. That's an assurance to me. I don't know
Amen.
About you all, but for me, I understand that if I do all the things we talked about tonight, that even though Peter, as he said in the scripture, began to sink, did Peter die? Absolutely not. What happened in the text, Brother Nook? What does it say happened?
Peter called out to Jesus, and Jesus reached out for him and helped him up.
That's exactly right. And so what we can trust that God will be there. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Now, God is never late. He may not be there when we want him. We've heard this many, many times. But he is always, on time. He's always on time. So I'm going to go around tonight and I ask the will somebody close us in prayer tonight? Brother Mark, would you close us in prayer tonight? But as we go around, can I get everybody to give us a take home what it means to trust and have faith in God as we're in the midst of the storm? And Brother Mark, would you go last? You're going to close us in prayer. Brother Nix, would you start, and then Brother Lester, then I'll go, and then Mark.
It means to lean not to our own understanding. And this is hard for us to do as people. But God is saying, trust in me. And we need to do that. Have faith in God and understand that God will be there with us and for us.
Amen. Amen. Brother Lester, what's your take home to help the people
trust in
God
and learning to wait on God peacefully? And waiting on the Lord is one of the hardest things we'll ever do. but one of the most necessary.
Amen. Amen. And this is Dr. Susie. I think the thing that, as it relates to trust and having faith in God, you must have a solid relationship with God. And that relationship is extended and built and established through prayer. And understanding the scripture, continue to pray the word of God to strengthen yourself and that relationship with God. Brother Mark.
I would say to submit your will to God's will. I think when you get our will to his will, then life changes. It's when our faith is activated and God's wishes and will is done. So we're going to go into prayer, and we're going to ask.
Prayer request. Can we do a prayer request
prayer
before you hang up? There you go. Go ahead. I have a prayer request, and I have 4 days left at work, and actually 5 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I'm just asking that you would bless my departure, that it would be favorable, and looking for job opportunities that will be long-lasting, permanent place. I'm asking to have a relationship built closer with my family, and that as I go through the storms of transition, that I would be mindful of everything that we're talking about tonight, maintaining that relationship with God and trusting God in the midst of the storm. Asking prayer for Dr. Edwards, for Shawnette Brown, for Eric on the line, for Dee, for Britt, as they did call me and said they wouldn't be able to be, but ask for prayer, and for Carmen. Also, for the Bible study itself, is there anybody else who has prayer requests? Any other prayer requests? Okay. So they're on any other prayer requests, Brother Mark?
Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness. We thank you for your love and your peace. We thank you for who you are. We ask in the name of Jesus that you bless each and every person that is on this line, that's associated to this line, that have any connection whatsoever, Lord. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It is you that has made us, not we ourselves. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you shower down your blessings. Shower down your blessings on Dr. Susie, even as she departs from her current position. Lord, we ask that you open up the door that should be open, close those doors that should be closed, Jesus. We ask that you open up job opportunities that she can't even imagine. Lord, that you bless her family, that they allow to build special relationships. Lord, we ask that you bless Sean Brown and bless her and her family and bless, you know, opportunities for jobs for her also. We ask that you bless the contracts that are coming for the Bryan Group and Carp Design Studio Architects. Lord, we ask that you bless Dr. Nooks in a special way. Bless he and his family. Lord, we ask that you bless everything that he touches. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus. And we declare, Jesus, Lord, you ask us to declare, you know, that all is well and that we would have blessings that we could not even take hold of, Jesus. Lord, that they would just overflow. Lord, we ask him, Jesus, that you'd hear our cry, that you'd hear our supplications. It's you that we give glory. It's you that we give praise, honor, Jesus. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus to have your way and let your will be done. We're looking for the blessings that you will extend and pour upon us. We're looking for your salvation to be renewed in so many of our lives. We're looking for deliverance in our families. We're looking for us to be able to shine and be an example to others. We're looking for you to bless us so we can bless others. Lord, our faith and peace and grace and mercy is solely on you and from you, Jesus. We thank you for all your goodness, and we thank you for your grace. Lord, we ask that you hear our cries today, that you bless us. Have your way and let your will be done. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Join us next week as our theme is Calling Upon the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.